It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the On Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner in Washington, D.C. Joey Wagner back in Champaign. As we'll talk about an 81-65 loss for Illinois at Maryland. Of course, the story of this game is Kofi Coburn is out, and Illinois felt it. And Joey, my biggest thing is, rarely do these things translate so well, but Illinois was minus 16 with Kofi off the court against Maryland last 2 weeks ago. They lose by 16 without Kofi on the court against Maryland. Of course, I think it just shows how good Kofi Coburn is, but how important he is to this team. Everything they do is built around Kofi Coburn offensively. I think even more so defensively, right? Like Illinois offensively, I know they got cold late in that game. I don't have a lot of issues with what they did offensively. They did what they have to do, which is shoot a lot of threes. You wish Curbelo would have finished a little bit more about the rim, but they don't have a lot of personnel that can do that. Defensively is where they really struggled in this game, and they just don't have other guys without Kofi Coburn. So in the long run, Joey, how much does this matter? It depends on how long Kofi Coburn is out. If it's only one game, it's a one-off, right? But if this is – you don't want to think about it. Curbelo, a couple months, it completely changes the season. But if it's a game or two, they're one-offs, right? But if it's any longer, it just shows how important Kofi Coburn is. Not that we didn't know that.
Yeah, I think the last 2 months watching and then hearing, I think hearing from Andre Curbelo was really telling this week. But I think that experience, when people heard Kofi was in concussion protocol and that broke, it was like, oh, my God. We just went through this, and that was really, really rough for the kid, obviously. And I credit to Andre for opening up as far as he did about that experience. But then, of course, it went to what does this look like on the basketball floor without the big guy in the middle? And that is a scary thought also, right? Because it wasn't very good tonight. And you're right, Illinois didn't lose this game because of their offense. Sure, down the stretch, right? You could have done better, but the reality was is Maryland had 40 points in the paint. They scored 81. I mean, that's – you don't put up 40 in the paint against Kofi Coburn. Now, I mean, it's I think six times this year Illinois has given up 34 or more in the paint. They're 3-3 in those games, and it just felt like Maryland knew there was a 7-foot hole in the middle of the – floor, and they were just going to go at it until Illinois could make them stop, and Illinois couldn't make them stop.
Yeah, Maryland out rebounds Illinois 33-30. As you said, 40 points in the paint for Maryland, Illinois 16, right? Like, there it is. Like, and here's the difference is like Illinois has the guards to survive and actually thrive without Andre Curbelo, or even last year without Io DeSumo, right? Because you still had Curbelo, you still had Trent Frazier. This year without Curbelo, you still have Frazier, you still have Plummer, right? You still have Grandison who can score. You don't have anybody who can do the things that Kofi Coburn can do. And that's partly a recruiting issue, right? Omar Payne has been underwhelming. Let's just be honest. He's been underwhelming so far this season. Had 4 points in that first half, and you're thinking, oh, here he goes. Well, in 12, you know, and a half minutes, he had one rebound. He had one block shot, and I thought he tried to go for too many blocks. Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk, he's your best option right now, right? And 6 points, one rebound. I thought he played pretty decent defense. He battled in there. But Kudus Wahab, who looked like a child against Kofi Coburn, looked like the man against Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk just because he's longer, stronger, more athletic. And then let's bring up the forward position. Illinois. It's Brad Underwood's big bugaboo in recruiting. And you were hoping Coleman Hawkins could take that leap, but Coleman Hawkins had 1 of 5 from the floor outside that little 5-point burst. He really struggles turning the ball over, but more importantly, really struggles to guard people. Dante Scott took his lunch for the second time this season. And, you know, Damonte Williams tried to battle, but he's undersized. And even though he played well against Scott the first time around, he did not play well against Scott this time around. So that four position, there's a reason they were going after Dawson Garcia, right? Like, and a guy like that, if you got him, I think you would have won tonight. If you had a guy like that, that presence, I think you could have won tonight with a small ball four. Coleman Hawkins isn't the guy that you hoped or you thought he could be with those three early games when Kofi was out and he was putting up numbers. He's playing against Big Ten opponents now, and he's not producing like that. And Omar Payne, nice game against Nebraska. Last couple games hasn't been there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to point out is one of our big takeaways last week at Nebraska was, hey, there could be some front court depth slowly emerging here. And that's just not carried over, Jeremy. Over the last few games here, Omar Payne, 12 games, he's had one or zero rebounds. They've played, what was tonight? I mean, that was 13 and five, so they played 18, give or take, right? That's not ideal for your 7-foot backup center. I mean, that's just, it's hard to get through that. And to me, that's probably one of the most disappointing things about his game is it just feels like he gets his hands on a lot of potential rebounds, but he doesn't bring them in. And then you get to the Coleman Hawkins. And, you know, we knew, Jeremy, that there were going to be, like, growing pains with him because he played so sparingly last year, because he had to get used to the Big Ten, you know, in terms of games and people preparing for him differently and just understanding and being a part of a bigger role. I didn't think we thought it was going to take 18 games, right? I mean, it's you need that position to be productive. And there's a reason you still see a lot of, like, the tantalizing traits of Coleman, right? He's long, he can dribble, he can shoot, he knocked down a three tonight. But it's just, it's not coming together as quickly. And tonight really felt like a pretty good time for it to all come together. And I say that, but he had three straight games with at least eight rebounds. And I think eight on the nose in all three. It's just consistency out of him and out of Omar Payne. And I mean, look, man, they brought in Omar Payne if Kofi Coburn was gone, right? He didn't start and he's healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of telling to me. And yeah, Ben played his butt off against Purdue, but if you would have told me this was going to be the scenario before the season, I'd have been like, what now? Yeah. It would have been hard to see coming.
Well, let's be honest. Outside of Kofi Coburn, this is a small team, right? And that's why a team like Maryland is always concerned, is because Dante Scott is a matchup nightmare for them. A 6'9 can take it off the bounce. I mean, we talk about E.J. Liddell. Dante Scott, with his burliness, is just as much of a matchup nightmare. And he's outside of that second half in Champaign, where Damonte Williams did a phenomenal job. He has really hurt Illinois in the two games this season. So you knew that was going to be a matchup issue. But even a guy like Hakeem Hart, right, becomes a matchup issue at times for Illinois. And I know Hart only had 10 points, but he got to the free throw line 6 times. Dante Scott got to the free throw line 7 times. Illinois struggles to stay in front and guard those guys and just compete with them. And then Wahab, you know, just got those offensive rebounds that were really those first half where Maryland had 8 straight points on second chance points. And Wahab was awful for the first 15 minutes of that game. He was taking shots that were favored at Illinois when, you know, Ayala and Vats Russell were getting to the rim at will. And Wahab was just throwing up these shots. Like, oh, thank you. He got going. He got 9 of their 13 points at one point, but most of them were just easy putbacks. And that's, you know, rotations. That's guys going for blocks when they just need to body people up. And that's why Bossman's Verdonk has value, is because he does the smart play. He's not going for the blocks all the time. He's putting bodies on people and, you know, that lets the guards come in and clean it all up. But they're a small team. And that this kind of matchup, even with Kofi there, is difficult for Illinois. Like Michigan State with Hauser and Hall and Gabe Brown and Bingham, and they can just throw all these waves of guys at you. That's where Illinois is really, really going to struggle, because they can go small and they pose problems too, and they can win if they shoot well. But without Kofi, it's even more apparent that their lack of size. When you have Grandison 6'6" at the four and Damonte Williams 6'3", and I know his wingspan is close to 7 foot, but at some point, height, size, length, it matters, and it certainly mattered tonight.
And this isn't new, right? Like, this isn't new information. I guess different last year in the sense that Georgie, I personally probably would have felt a little more comfortable with him as a backup big last year than you do right now. You talked about it earlier, but I keep coming back to the four, right? Like, figure out the four. And things are really, really good. And I don't want to write it off and say Coleman Hawkins can't put it together for the rest of the year. I think that's probably a little too soon for me to jump on there. But, man, tonight was that chance, because he is kind of the elixir to that, you know, their small type of issue, especially when Kofi's out there, right? Then you're putting out some pretty good front court size. But, man, it hit him tonight. It hit him really bad. And especially in the second half, Dante Scott was just, he could have told Illinois what he was going to do and they weren't going to stop him.
Yeah. And I don't want to put it all here on just talent, because Illinois was winning this game with 8 minutes left. You know, you have a lead, your shooters are going off. Like, Trent Frazier, I thought, was really good tonight. I know he only put up 13 points, but you know, Curbelo barely played in that first half, and really for most of the game. Brad Underwood said he had a fever. I know that sent Twitter into a tizzy, as it generally does, but I would imagine they test for COVID, right? But man, you got to play him. Like, if he's good enough to play, like, you're not going to put Pods out there for 12 minutes. So I thought Frazier controlled the ball really well. I thought he created for his teammates really well, and he scored when he had to, kind of the middle of that game. Plummer went off in the first half. I give a lot of credit to Maryland. I thought they wore him down. I thought they put some length on him and slowed him down. Grandison stepped up in the second half when Plummer was struggling. So I feel fine about those guys. I thought the offense they ran, the looks they got, were really good. You just needed Curbelo to make more at the rim, and he needed Damonte Williams to make some threes. Coleman Hawkins to make some threes. Those guys were combined 1 for 10 tonight. With Kofi out, you can't have that. You have no margin for error. Like, you need those guys to be able to score just a little bit. But it's did Brad Underwood adjust enough? You know, he said today that Kofi Coburn got hit in the head Sunday in practice, and they got, you know, elbows to the head. And I know Derek Burson from Sports Information told you that, Joey, this morning. But they knew after the Purdue game that day, Monday, that Kofi Coburn was going to be in concussion protocol. So is that enough time to adjust everything, to change your entire defense? And I think we got to be fair to Brad, and that their whole defensive scheme is built around Kofi. So what they do every day in practice all season long has been this drop coverage, what we do around Kofi. And of course, you can change some little things with Omar and them, but can you change an entire scheme in 3 days, 4 days? Do you do that if Kofi's only going to be out one game? Like, so, but I thought they could have doubled Dante Scott. I think he got to get the ball out of his hands when he was cooking like that. And I'm forcing Maryland to shoot threes. Like, I know Julian Reese hit two big threes. I was fine with those shots. Who's the other one? There was a, Eric Ayala took a tough three. Like, Fats Russell took a couple tough threes. I know Brad Underwood prides himself on limiting teams' threes, and Maryland shot only 11 tonight. I want that team shooting threes. They're 31%. I don't want them taking me off the dribble. I would have hard-hedged, maybe get the ball out of those ball handlers' hands to keep them from getting downhill, because Fats Russell and Eric Ayala, Fats with his speed, Ayala with his size, they were just taking the guards off the bounce. And then, you know, it was getting some easy shots at the rim for their post players, or, you know, those guys were getting to the free throw line. So, you know, I thought they could have hard hedged a little bit more with those guys. And I think they could have doubled Dante Scott a little bit, just force them to make three pointers to beat you, because that's not Maryland's game.
I'm sure Danny Manning was not upset that his team only took 11 threes. I mean, that's like thumbs up, right? In College Park. Yeah. In that second half, my notes are close, I guess, but why you got to double Scott late? I mean, he was the answer every single time in the second half there down the stretch as this thing got pretty close. I know Hart had a couple on the free throws, but before that, when this Illinois was, man, I'm tripping over myself here a little bit.
He had 9 straight points after Curbelo hit that jumper, right? Like, you know, Maryland was kind of making these pushes, and then Grandison, time after time, was answering. And then Curbelo answered. And you're like, oh, Illinois, like, you know, Maryland's throwing these punches, and Illinois is just throwing them back. And then Ayala made a layup, and Scott had 9 straight points to give him a 68-63 lead. Hart got to the free throw line, then 4 more points. So he had 13 of 15 points during that run that made the game from 58-57 to 74-65. That's the game. That's the game right there. You had to get the ball out of his hands. Make someone else beat you. Fats Russell's not a good shooter from the outside, right? Wahab, I'd rather have the ball in his hands than Scott. Reese, I'd rather have the ball in his hands than anybody on that team. Like, I think Ayala and Scott are their best players, but Russell is not a very good shooter. And I'd rather have Hakeem Hart shoot the ball than Dante Scott.
Yeah, and look, this isn't new information. These teams played on January 6th. And if you'll remember in the post game, it was all rainbows. Like, look at what Damonte Williams did against Dante Scott. And that was a big deal because Dante Scott can ruin your night.
Yeah, and deservedly so. Damonte played fantastic against him in the second half.
The point being, like, that was a big deal because Damonte stepped up to the challenge and didn't let a guy ruin the night in the State Farm Center, didn't let him ruin Io night, is what it was. And then, so it's not like Dante Scott was, like, some out-of-nowhere guy, right? Like, if he's getting hot like that in the second half, probably would be advised to do something. And I know, you know, Brad tried to throw Damonte on him late. Or it's, I don't even want to say late, but at some point during that stretch, I don't remember the exact time, and that didn't really work. And at that point, I don't, you know, what do you do? And to your point about rebuilding the defense and, or reworking, I guess maybe tweaking the defense, however you want to put it, it's a tough balance. Like you said, how long do you expect the big guy to be out?
Yeah.
How much do you want to rework on the fly in a short week? I mean, not really a short week, 3 or 4 days is you could probably figure something out, but it's tough, and maybe that was something there could have been more. I largely kind of roll my eyes a little bit at the not enough adjustments argument because I think that's a really, really easy thing to type and maybe not so much always to execute, but Dante Scott was cooking, dude. You had to try to slow him down, and it didn't happen. And you're right, that stretch there was the game, and Maryland wasn't really secretive about what they were doing, right? It was like, hey, get this guy the ball and good night. And it was over. There was no answer.
Yeah. So I sent a text to Michael Tulip just to be, you know, I'm not a smart basketball guy, right? So I texted him about, you know, what kind of adjustments can you make? Like, how do you do that? All that. And he mentioned some of those hard hedge double, and those are things I was thinking, but he said it's hard because you practice a certain way. Unless you repped post traps and hard head in practice, it's almost impossible to do it well implementing it mid-game. So I think that's what Brad was trying to say to us, because I kept asking him about, like, I asked him, like, is this a preview of what life is like without Kofi? And I didn't know if it was a good question, but he gave me a great answer about, well, yeah, but, like, we do that after a season. We don't have – like the recipe for that mid-season, because you're practicing all year to have Kofi, and then all of a sudden you don't have him midweek in a game, it can be difficult. It's more intensive, I think, than probably us fans think, because you think, oh, just practice it for 2 days and you get it. Maybe that is the answer, but I think these guys are so ingrained into what they do, it's hard to make those adjustments, but I know some coaches do. So I thought there were some things that get the ball out of Dante Scott's hands. I thought that was controllable, and they weren't able to do it during that stretch. And that was the game. That whole stretch of him scoring 13 of 15 was the reason Illinois, you know, got crushed at the end of this game. The last 8 minutes weren't even competitive.
And I'm trying to remember how many of those 13 were, like, objectively difficult. Right. I mean, I don't remember a lot where I was like, oh, shoot, that went in. Well, you know, if you're Illinois, you tip your hat and you go back on offense.
5 were layups.
That's tough stuff, dude. Right.
5 were layups. He had 3 free throws. Man. Yeah. It was ridiculous. All of them. I think
in the paint.
Four layups, one jumper, but I think it was in the paint as a jumper, and then three free throws. So easy stuff. Iowa had a layup in there, so that's why I said five.
Yeah, man. It again, they weren't hiding it. We're gonna put the bigger guy on your smaller guy. We're gonna put him in the paint, and we know that your 7-footer is back in Champaign. Your 7-foot All American, and figure it out. And it didn't happen. And it was that was a tough loss, Jeremy. Right? I mean, I know they were without Kofi, and I get that. But I'm just thinking back to the vibe 1 week ago, and it's Michigan at home, and it's like, oh my, there's so much in these, specifically the Monday game against Purdue, which I don't think any of us are like, oh gosh, can't believe they lost that. That was a great basketball game against two really, really good teams. But then, I mean, I remember even after the Purdue podcast, like, it's a pretty winnable stretch here sitting in front of you to keep doing things. And you get a matchup. Purdue does you a favor a couple nights later. You get Michigan State and Ohio or in Wisconsin. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh dang, like, there's still some room here. And then you go to Maryland and lose. And yeah, you're without your big guy, but still a tough one. It's still a tough one because Maryland's working through some business, man.
Yeah, they are. And I thought that this is a team that could quit if it got down early. And I thought there was a chance for Illinois with like a 6-point lead in that second half to maybe really put them away. And they just weren't able to string together stops. I think that was the biggest thing. And of course, they went cold. What did they miss? 11 of their last 12 threes. Might have been even more than that.
They're over the last 7, 2 of the last 10. Maryland closed it on an 11-0 run, which is more, you know, you take that away, I put that in air quotes. I mean, that 11-0 run, this would have been a 70-65, but yeah, man.
Yeah, it was a bad week. It was a bad week for Illinois in that you lost Kofi, right? And you don't know for how long, and Brad Underwood didn't have an update on that. I mean, if you want to speculate, right, like I've told you this, Joey, like football, usually you see a guy get a concussion and he'd come back the next week and play. So it's usually like a 6-day thing, but that's assuming everything goes well. That he progresses every day, hits the things they need to in protocol. That didn't happen with Curbelo. Curbelo's had previous concussions as a high school player. I have no idea if Kofi has. But if he hits his benchmarks, you know, Monday he suffered it. Could he be ready for Tuesday? In a perfect world, yeah, I think he could be. And that changes things. I still think Michigan State's a really tough matchup with their forwards. But you win that game, Joey, you're feeling you're back, right? Because you'd be back atop the Big Ten. Take over for Michigan State, who beat Wisconsin tonight in a very impressive performance for them. But yeah, this is a tough week, and that's a tough loss because you still could have won. You still had enough to win that game against a program that was really struggling in front of a really bad crowd for a Big Ten team. Like for a Big Ten team that, and Maryland, especially a proud basketball program, that arena was maybe half full. And like there wasn't much atmosphere in there, but they got going late because their team was playing so well. So yeah, that's still a very, very disappointing loss. It's just how much do you put into it? Because Kofi's gone. Like if Kofi's in that game, they win. I have no doubt that they win that game if Kofi is playing, because they did move better offensively at times without Kofi, but he just gets easy buckets. When you need easy buckets, he gets them. He gets rebounds that Wahab wouldn't have these putbacks. It's just, we saw it the first time around. He was a plus 28 when he was on the court against Maryland. So yeah, this is a tough week, Joey. You're out of first place in the Big Ten, right? And if you don't have Kofi, next week at Northwestern's tough. So they got Nance. They got Ryan Young. Those post players are better than what Illinois got in the post right now without Kofi. So I'm even like, if Kofi missed 2 weeks or something like that, these are any matchup in the Big Ten is really tough. Like this is what we'd have thought going into the season if Kofi wasn't there. It's like, well, are they favored against at Northwestern? Or is Rutgers an easy win? Kofi Coburn that's how good he is.
Can we just say how stupid plus 28 in a game is? Like, that is comical, right?
Like, I didn't know if you were, like, rubbing your head when you were saying that, Joey, because I was talking so long, or if it was because of one specific thing. It was plus 28, so I'm happy.
That's insane. That is freaking insane. But, yeah, how much do you put in this? And you also – and I know they talked about it – I know you didn't hear this, Jeremy – on the FS1 broadcast where effectively Kofi and Andre Curbelo have just done kind of a, hey, how you doing on the court this year? They've not played together. It just that matters because, you know, those two are media day participants in part because they're really good talkers. And then the other part, they're really freaking good basketball players. And they got a lot of attention preseason for good reason. And you haven't had them together. And that's not an excuse because it still stings really bad if you're Illinois, I think, to lose this game. But to your point, I don't know how much you put in it, Jeremy, because if this is just a one-off, Kofi will be back on Tuesday or even Saturday against Northwestern. I think it's Saturday, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Then stinks, right?
You'll be back in the Big Ten battle, right? Like, I don't know. The last two losses, if you change those results, Illinois is in front of the Big Ten, feeling great. A game and a half up on Michigan State? Like, you are controlling your own destiny. Now, you're in the thick of it, right? And I'm not counting Illinois out here. It's very difficult to win Big Ten championships, especially when you have guys in and out of the lineup who are the most important players on your team. Like Kofi missing four games this year. Illinois look terrible when they don't have Kofi Coburn on the court. Andre Curbelo, they survived without him. That's a kudos to Trent Frazier and Alfonso Plummer and Jacob Grandison, right? And a little bit of DeMonte. When Kofi's off the court, they just are a completely different team. I know I'm hammering that, but they are. I wanted to bring up this, though. Curbelo wasn't good tonight, right? I thought he got good looks at the rim, wasn't able to finish them. Three turnovers tonight. Obviously wasn't feeling very well, but he only played 14 minutes, partly because Trent Frazier was better than him tonight. So they went with that. So that's a good thing. You have another option. DeMonte Williams had 8 rebounds and 6 assists. I thought he did those two things well. Dante Scott, when he went up against DeMonte, got the better of him tonight. But 0 of 5 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3. Last year looks like an outlier, doesn't it? I like what DeMonte gives you, but when he can't score for you, when he can't give you a couple field goals a game, it's especially when Kofi's out, really hurts. Just like Coleman. When Coleman goes 1 for 5, those guys have to elevate their games, Payne, Hawkins, Williams, and they didn't.
Well, and it sticks out, Jeremy, you can get by, and I think DeMonte was a benefactor last year, I'm sure someone's going to tell me I'm wrong, maybe that someone is you. I think every time, every lineup, you could have justifiably said you had 4 people who could score the ball last year. Give or take, right? Georgie, you know, we'd see about that, but like, for the most part, and that means you have to play him straight up, and DeMonte's going to get chances, or especially if someone leaves him. So when you have Ben Bosman's Verdonk, who's just not very good offensively, I think he plays his butt off on defense and he hustles, but offensively the skill set's just in progress, I suppose. Omar Payne hasn't been very good offensively. That's one whole position right there. So now between that and you know, you're looking at 2 with the way DeMonte has been playing. Then you put maybe even times Coleman out there, and offensively it's just not been what we thought. Now you have – it's just easier for a defense, right?
It's it's easier to guard Plummer, like, right? Like, that's what Maryland did. They were like, don't worry as much about DeMonte Williams. Don't worry about their center.
They did not care about Ben Boston's Redonk on offense. They did not even moderately – they iced and hedged everything. Because it's like, come on. He's just not shown that offensive game.
And he got a couple buckets because of it, right? He finished a couple more tonight. He had 6 points, which is, I think, tied a season high, or Big Ten points certainly probably is high. Yeah. But Maryland, you'll take that, just like you'll take Reese shooting 3-pointer.
Yeah, and I think when you put those factors together, I know someone's going to think this sounds like an excuse for DeMonte, but – That's the problem, right? Is when you have a couple guys who are struggling to score, things get easier for the defense. And I want to see DeMonte take some more of those threes. It feels like he's gotten a little more comfortable in putting the ball on the floor and doing something than just shoot him, man. I think they're going to trust you to shoot it. I don't think they would have an issue with that. And I'm sure
he's actually been good from 3 during Big Ten play, 40.9% the first season. He's 34. He doesn't have as much confidence. I mean, but he was over 4 tonight. Right, he did take 3s. So he was 0-4. He just didn't make them. Like, they, I liked the looks they got mostly offensively. They just didn't make them.
The thing with him that's difficult is at one point I even looked. I'm like, this has got to be like his 10th rebound. He's gets a lot of rebounds. And when you're missing Kofi, like, that's kind of invaluable. He had twice as many rebounds as any other teammate of his tonight. He had 6 assists, which was one more than the starting point guard in Frazier. And I understand that's not a knock on Trent Frazier, because I think that's not exactly what they ask of him out of a point guard. But, like, he does a lot of those things. And for the most part, tonight with standing, he's really, really good defensively. So it's like, that's the trade-off. And I think I guess my long-winded point from earlier was you can get away with that trade-off when you have surrounding him more or less, or Kofi, Plummer, Grandison, and Frazier. It makes it a lot easier to manage that, because you still have 4 guys who can crush you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough mix there, man.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at some of the threes that he missed. And it was just because they were in such important times. Like Illinois is or Maryland's up 51-49. He misses a 3. Illinois is, I think, yeah, they're up 56-54. He gets an open look. Great look. I think Curbelo created it for him. Mm-hmm. Misses. Right? Like, those were the shots where it's like, I get it. You're going to miss some of those. You're going to miss some shots. But just like, you make 1 or 2 of those. If Demonte gives you 1 or 2 of those, it's a completely different game. And he's invaluable. And we're talking about him. Like, so I don't think he needs to change much. It's just the shots aren't going in. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's what it is. But like, he is so – he's valuable in everything he does. But if he's not making 2 shots a game, it's really apparent when you don't have Kofi Coburn, especially on the court.
Well, the thing is like last year – it felt like he made 2/3 of those shots. I think he played 4 shots, right? But like, it felt like you needed something. And it was like, oh, that's a big 3 from Demonte Williams. And you've seen it again this year too, right? I'm thinking back to Nebraska. Trent Frazier drives under, hits that Demonte Williams 3. Does it again against Maryland. Sure enough. Am I thinking correctly? No, I'm not at all. At some point after the Nebraska game, Trent Frazier hit Demonte Williams again for a big 3, so that must have been Michigan. Mm-hmm. Man, this January is going
to be – yeah, and I don't want to bag on him, because I think Demonte is going to be fine. But it's so important for him and Coleman and Payne and Bosman Zerdonk to give you more when Kofi's out.
Yes.
And that's what Kofi – like, Kofi just gives you such a margin for error. That's why you were 6-0 in Big Ten play, right? Like – you didn't play great in all those games, but you had that guy. And even when he struggled against Nebraska, guy had 16-13. You would have lost against Nebraska if you didn't have him, even though he didn't play well. Like, he just does so much for you. And I want to throw this out there. Bart Tavorek, just to explain this week, right? Just to kind of wrap this up, Joey. Illinois had like a 64% chance at that point, based on the analytics, to have a share of the Big Ten title. Now it's down to 32. Now it's too early for all that stuff. Like, I didn't think I didn't know Purdue was going to lose at Indiana. I don't think it's a bad week for Purdue. It's, you know, even though they lost one on the road, it's at Indiana, and Indiana's a pretty good team. It just made things a lot tighter. And now all of a sudden, without Kofi and with a much tougher schedule coming up for Illinois, right? Like, that's the biggest thing, is there's not many guaranteed wins and nothing is guaranteed on the road. And Maryland's a bad matchup. Be had a chance to win a road game, and you just let it slip in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and looking, knowing what we know now on, I guess for you, Saturday morning, you could have been 4.5 up on Purdue if you went on Monday, because they went and lost. And I know that's so much what if, and does Purdue lose, whatever, I don't care. But there's a big opportunity there. And I do think, Jeremy, like, I know we're in agreement on this, because that's how we think. This is not like – jump off the ship and watch it sit up to see if you're a fan. So I know people are frustrated, and I know you're probably gonna scream at me and be like, shut up when I say it, not you, but when people hear this, it's okay, man.
Shut up, Joey. Shut up. Okay.
Yeah. it just rings so like Twitter.
No, it's a frustrating loss. I don't think Purdue was, I mean, I don't look at it like Purdue and Arizona. I don't look at those games and be like, oh man. Like, what terrible losses. With Kofi out, it's hard to call that a terrible loss. but it's a Maryland team that I think is underachieved this year. I think they're talented. I think they're more talented. I think they're as talented as like Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin's just incredibly disciplined, well coached, doesn't beat themselves. Maryland has beat themselves all year, but like I look at Maryland, I think they're more talented than Iowa outside of the Murray brothers, right? Like Penn State, I think they're more talented than Indiana. I think they're, you know, probably up there with Indiana when it comes to talent, but you know, you can't play like you did tonight defensively and go on the road and win. But a huge part of that's your best player being out. So I guess time will tell, like whether this was the alarming thing or this was just a one-off because your best player is out. But I think it shows that your roster and your team depends so much on one guy. Like, and Trent Frazier is important and Plummer is important with what they're doing. Not near. That's why I said last year, like, if you had to take one player off the team, if you had to pick Io or Kofi, would it be? It'd be Io, because as great as he is and what he's doing in the league is showing that Illinois just doesn't have another – nobody really has another person like Kofi Coburn, right, in college basketball.
Purdue.
They got two of them.
I know. Yeah, I guess I didn't want to minimize – the frustration that I know fans are feeling after this loss. But I think I probably lean more of, hey, Kofi didn't play, right? Like
it's not like this loss means you're not making the tournament. I think people know that, right? Like we don't have to explain that. Like, does this mean you're not going to be a two seed or three? I don't know. It's too early to say that. Cause if you go off on a long run,
like they did a year ago
and they lost back to back Big Ten games, they wanted a big run. I don't think this team's got that in them, Joey. I doubt it. I don't think they do, but I still think they're going to be in the mix with this. As long as Kofi's in the lineup. If Kofi's in the lineup, he's one of the best teams in the Big Ten. If Kofi's not in the lineup, it's probably not a team that would be feeling good about NCAA tournament at this point, but Kofi has been a part.
Let me ask you this. How similar – I have my answer – how similar is this to the Marquette game that he didn't play?
I mean, Marquette looks pretty good now, don't they? Yeah. They do. Yeah. Like I think that's a fair comp. This feels like the Marquette loss, even though Marquette's turned out to be better. I think Maryland's going to win some more Big Ten games. I think
Marquette feels worse just because, to be frank, Curbelo really didn't play very well down the stretch. And in hindsight, we maybe know a little bit of what he was dealing with, but
You could say that, and I understand it, but now we know what Plummer is. Now we know what Grandison is. Frazier's had a great game that game, but Frazier's been awesome.
Sure.
So maybe it's in hindsight of what Marquette's done, and now that we know what Curbelo was dealing with in that game, maybe I excuse that one a little bit more. But, no, that was a really frustrating loss, especially because you had so many opportunities late in the game. This one – late in the game, you didn't have any opportunity. You were just snowballing at the end.
Yeah, this wasn't a lead that was like slowly chipped at and burned away. Like Illinois, I actually feel like when Illinois took a couple of leads, like those were fortunate because I just didn't feel like really any team had a big pull until Maryland at the end. But even those leads that Illinois took, it's just like, well, you know, they're going to hit back. And they did every time. And it just, Marquette was different in the sense of like, once Illinois got on the ropes, that was a ball game there. But I still think, like, even at that, and I think maybe the point I'm making is, like, should we look at that more similarly to this, where it was you have a body of work, two games against high major opponents without Kofi Coburn, and you have a lot of a body of work with him. And I think you could make a real argument both those games they win if he plays, and that summarizes the whole point we've been making for the last 40 minutes.
And Cincinnati was first game back. And that one, that was the worst game of the season, right? And someone was like, yep, you're going to have one at some point. It was the first
game. Missouri game of last year.
Yeah. 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 So what do we figure out in 40 minutes of talking that? Oh, Illinois is better with Kofi Coburn. So you're welcome for that.
Who would have thunk it? I'm glad we had that brainstorming session.
I'm glad we had this long discussion about that. All right, so here we go. Illinois next week, Tuesday, against Michigan State, the leader in the Big Ten. I'm sure Michigan State will be probably top 10 team again this week after knocking off Wisconsin and taking the Big Ten lead. I know they lost to Northwestern the previous Saturday, but that's a big win. I'm sure they get in the top 10, kind of take Wisconsin's spot. I don't know if Illinois is ranked.
Yeah, I think they would.
It could be. Yeah. I don't think that Purdue loss hurts some, and maybe people, the voters, just say, hey, you know, maybe they hold on. Maybe they hold on at the end of this.
It doesn't really matter.
Again,
I can also see them in Iowa kind of flip-flopping. Iowa jumps in. Iowa's been kissing on getting close into this thing, and I can see a flip there.
Yeah. But if you get Kofi Coburn back and healthy, I think you'll be fine and get back into those rankings and back into this Big Ten race and all of that. All right, read the latest at IlliniInquirer.com. Joey Wagner, thank you, buddy.
Go ahead, man. No problem. Safe trip home.
I will. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, take care of each other. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!